Shishuka uvacha Sukham svapuryam nivasan Dorakayam Shriyapati Savasampat Samriddhayam Jushtayam Vrishni Pungavai Shriyasa Uvacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Sukham, happily. Swa, in his own. Puriyam, city. Nivasan, residing. Dwarakayam, in Dwaraka. Shriyaha, of the goddess of fortune. Pati, the master. Sava, all. Sampat, in opulent features. Samriddhayam, which was rich. Jushtayam, populated. Vrishni Pungavai, by the most prominent of the Vrishnis. Stribi, by women. Cha, and. Uttama, excellent. Veshavi, whose dress? Okay, I've gone too far. There's seven verses here. We won't read all the verses. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, the master of the goddess of fortune resided happily in his capital city, Dwaraka, which was endowed with gorgeously dressed wives. When these beautiful women, in the bloom of youth, would play on the city's rooftops with balls and other toys, they shone like flashing lightning. The main streets of the city were always crowded with intoxicated elephants exuding mudra, and also with cavalry, richly adorned infantry men, and soldiers riding chariots brilliantly decorated with gold. Gracing the city were many gardens and parks with rows of flowering trees, where bees and birds would gather, filling all directions with their songs. Lord Krishna was the sole beloved of his 16,000 wives, expanding himself into that many forms, he enjoyed with each of his queens in her own richly furnished residence. On the grounds of these palaces were clear ponds fragrant with the pollen of blooming Utpala, Kalara, Kumuda and Amboja lotuses, and filled with flocks of cooing birds. The Almighty Lord would enter those ponds and also various rivers, and enjoy sporting in the water while his wives embraced him, leaving the red kumkum from their breasts smeared on his body. Purport. One rule of poetic composition practiced by Vaishnava authors is Maturena Sam Samapayat. A literary work should conclude in a mood of special sweetness. Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the most tasteful narrator of transcendental topics, has accordingly included in this last chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam a description of Lord Krishna's water sports in the attractive setting of Dwaraka, followed by the rapturous prayers of the Lord's queens. Amagyan Timarandasya Genanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today is a very auspicious day. Why is today auspicious?
Because you're here.
Thank you, Uddhava. I'll give you $10 after class. Yeah, good. So why is today auspicious?
Ekadasi.
Yeah, because today is Julan Yatra. Julan Yatra means today is the first day of the festival season. Because from now, we are just over-flooded by a tidal wave of nectar coming from the spiritual world. Golokera, Premadana, Harinam, Sankirtan. This Hare Krishna movement is coming from Goloka and Vrindavan. It is coming from the topmost place in the spiritual world. It is the most ecstatic movement within the world, because it directly replicates or shows the eternal pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual sky. So today is the first day of the festival season. Today is Julan Yatra. So it's just like waves of nectar which are coming. First you have Julan Yatra, then Baladev Purnim, then Krishna Janmashtami, then Prabhupada Vyasa Puja, then Radhashtami. If you are not ecstatic by the end of this, then there is no hope for you. You will be in the spiritual world. Actually, we're already in the spiritual world, but because of our consciousness not being focused on Krishna, then that keeps us separate. There's no separation from Krishna, actually. There's no such thing as separation from Krishna. We're eternally with Krishna. But by consciousness, bahya mukh means the face gets turned away. We are choosing to ignore Krishna at this point in time. We choose to turn our back on Krishna. But factually speaking, there's no separation from Krishna. Krishna is always with us. But when our consciousness becomes pure or focused, then we can begin to focus upon Krishna. And then we realize that we are in Krishna's association eternally. So here in the Bhagavatam, this is the last chapter of the 10th canto. And Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he is speaking, as it says here, one of the rules in Sanskrit poetic composition practiced by Vaishnava authors is Madhurena Samapayat, which means things must finish sweetly. Just like in the material world we have perverted rasas. Just like in the spiritual world there's five principal rasas and seven secondary rasas. So one of the secondary rasas is ghastliness. Ghastliness means when something happens in Krishna's pastimes and everyone gets filled with fear or like that. So an example of this is when Krishna jumped into the Jamuna River to fight with Kaliya, the great serpent. And when Krishna was fighting with Kaliya, then the devotees, they ran to Vrindavan and they told Nanda and Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they said, quick, come, Krishna is fighting with a huge serpent in the Jamuna. So everyone ran, and when they got to the river, Krishna was standing on the hoods of Kaliya, and Kaliya had his coils entwined around Krishna. And Krishna was there as if he was captured by Kaliya, and everyone was in ghastliness. This was the most horrific scene for them, that Krishna was captured by a serpent and was about to be possibly devoured. So everyone was just completely... So this rasa is there in the spiritual world, but this is, it comes and goes. The primary rasa stays. Five primary rasas, like you have your Krishna's friend, or your Krishna's parent, or your Krishna's lover, that stays. That is called stahi bhava. Means it's permanent ecstasy. But then the other seven, they come in and out. Sometimes they come and sometimes they disappear. Just like one of the rasas is chivalry. Now, one of the secondary rasas. Sometimes the cowboys are chivalrous with Krishna. They say to Krishna, "You're not such a big man. You come and I will wrestle with you, and today I will defeat you. And when I defeat you, then you have to carry me around the cowherd pastures on your shoulders." So Krishna says, "Then come." So then they have a battle, they wrestle. And because Krishna loves his devotees, because he's Bhakta Vatsala, because he likes to let his devotees win. So he gives them a good wrestling match. They have a good match. And then he lets them win. And then they say, "Now, fulfill your promise. Carry me around on your shoulders." So Krishna has to pick them up on the shoulders and they carry around. And they have their arms in the air. "Just behold, I am the conqueror of this Govinda." Like this. This is the mood. And so it's chivalrous. So sometimes chivalry comes in and out of the pastimes. Sometimes humour comes in and out of the pastimes. Krishna is laying on the lap of Balaram, described in Nectar of Devotion. And Krishna is laying there with his eyes closed on the lap of Balaram. Balaram is massaging Krishna. And then one of the cowherd boys says to Krishna, "Krishna, open your mouth. I have a nice laddu for you." And Krishna has his eyes closed. So he just opens his mouth and someone drops a flower in his mouth. Krishna's like... So humorous rasa. Sometimes humour comes in and out of the pastimes. So. So one of the rasas is ghastliness. Sometimes it comes in and out of the pastimes. Krishna, all the devotees come down to the Jamuna and they see Krishna is caught up with Kaliya. And everyone is just completely in fear and shock and the most horrible feeling that Krishna could be slain by this demon. So in the material world, the people focus more on these other rasas. Just like in the movies, a lot of the movies are just ghastliness. You know, just like, it's funny, you go to India. In India they have Bollywood, which is like Hollywood. And they make more movies in India than they do in Hollywood. Bollywood makes more movies than Hollywood makes. Right? It's the biggest movie industry in the world. But it's funny because when I go to India, usually try to go once a year, and now you see all the posters on the wall for all the movies, the Bollywood movies. But I come every year and I think, wasn't that poster there last year? Because it's the same thing, right? There's a guy there with a gun going like this, and he's got a headband on, and he's got blood coming down here. Right? And there's an old guy going like that. And then there's a girl in the back going like that. And it's the same every time. Right? Just a different guy. But it's the same thing every time. Right? Ghastliness. You know, he's like, you know, with his gun and blood coming down his head. Right, ghastly. I mean, it's a horrible scene. Everyone's like, shocked. What's going on? We have to go and see that movie to see what's going on. It's the same thing that happened in the last movie. Right? You have a bad guy and you have a guy with blood going down there, and in the end, he shoots him and he gets the girl. And that's it. That's Bollywood. That's Hollywood. So this ghastliness is there. These material rasas are there. The secondary rasas like that. But sometimes in the movies, the movie finishes on a ghastly note. At the end of the movie, it's like they have some terrible thing happens, like the main character dies, or you know, something terrible happens, and that's how they finish the film. And everyone goes, you know, everyone walks away and thinks, "What was that about? Why would you finish a film like that? Right, go through the whole thing, and then in the end, the person gets dead, or you know, it's like it's, and then you go away feeling, you know, terrible. You feel like, what was that for?" So it says that one of the rules in Vaishnava poetry is that everything must finish sweetly. And the reason why is because in the spiritual world everything does finish sweetly. It never finishes negatively. There's all the drama which is there. In the material world we have all the drama, but in the end it finishes inauspiciously and everyone's upset. Right? But in the spiritual world there's all the drama, but then everything finishes auspiciously. Because Krishna is always auspicious, and Krishna is always, he always conquers his enemies like that. Actually, it says in the spiritual world, there are actually no demons there. That's one of the differences between Balma Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. That in the material Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan in this world, there are no demons. Sorry. In the Vrindavan in this world, there are demons. But in the Vrindavan in the spiritual world, there are no demons. There is only a rumor that the demon is there. Because it adds to the pastimes. Just like Arishtasura. What type of demon is Arishta? Bull. All right, big bull comes into Vrindavan. Well, that's it. He comes into Vrindavan. And when he comes into Vrindavan in this world, he comes in the size, in the form of a huge bull. And as he comes into Vrindavan, he begins to snort. Like that, and he's throwing his horns around. He begins to stamp into the earth. And it says he's so tall that his tail is flicking around in the clouds. This huge demon walks into Vrindavan. So everyone sees the demon. He's actually manifest. And everyone becomes, you know, full of fear. Everyone begins to call out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Krishna, Krishna, mighty armed. Come and save us. Like that. But in the spiritual world, they don't actually see the demon. Now, this is the rumor, right? Someone says, oh, Arishtasura is coming. And everyone says, Arishtasura is coming. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. So the whole feeling goes on, but the demon never actually comes. Like that. It just enhances the pastimes. You have to go to the spiritual world to understand it. Some devotees are looking at me going like, what's that about? You have to go to the spiritual world to understand it. I haven't been there recently, so I can't explain it elaborately like that. But in the material world, then the demons actually manifest, because if the demons weren't there, everyone would become very confused. You need the demons to actually manifest to make the pastimes make sense like that. So it is necessary that these pastimes finished on a very sweet note. So this is the last chapter of the 10th canto. So therefore, in this final chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, because he is the topmost poet. Actually, Shukadeva Goswami, what is his identity in the spiritual world? Parrot. Which parrot is he? Radharani's parrot. He is Radharani's Shuka, or parrot. Radharani, he lands on Radharani's finger, right? And then Radharani feeds him pomegranates. Little pomegranates, feeds him pomegranates. And she says, Krishna bowl, Krishna bowl. And he says, Krishna, Krishna. Chants. And then Radharani says, send Krishna a message. She says, tell Krishna, tonight we will meet in this forest. So then he flies off. And he lands on Krishna, and then Krishna feeds him some pomegranates. And then Krishna says, so what is the message? And he says, Radharani says, tonight we'll meet in this forest. He says, very good. Well, he gives him some seed and flies back. This is Shukadev Goswami. This is who's speaking Bhagavatam. So therefore, when Shukadev Goswami walked into amidst the sages, when Maharaj Parikshit was leaving this world, when Maharaj Parikshit was leaving this world, all the great sages came from all over the universe to be with him. Because they understood it was a very auspicious moment and something very great was going to take place. So when Maharaj Parikshit was passing away, Vyasadeva himself came. Right? Narad Muni himself came. And many, many other great sages came. But when Shukadeva Goswami walked towards the assembly, everyone stood up. Because they understood this is the greatest of all the sages, the topmost Paramahamsa, Vaishnava. Even Narada, who is the spiritual master of Vyas, and even Vyas, who is Shukadeva Goswami's father, they offered respect. They said, you sit on the Vyasasana, you speak. Even though the father and the guru were there, but they said, you speak, because they understood he had the most realization. He's the topmost sage. So he spoke, and then Parikshit Maharaj says, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? And then Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken like that. So now he's speaking. Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken for 7 days. So now we're at the end of the 10th canto. So we must be around about day 6 or so. He's been speaking now for 6 days to Maharaj Parikshit. And now he says to Maharaj Parikshit, he's just finishing Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto. And the 10th canto is the summum bonum. So he thinks now I'm finishing Krishna's pastimes, I'll speak some very sweet pastimes. So he speaks about Krishna and his dealings with his wives in Dwarka and the sweetness of those pastimes. Right? How they have fights, water fights in the lakes in Dwarka. Dwarka itself is an amazing city because the city is floating on the ocean. This is Krishna. Because Krishna was living in Mathura. But in Mathura, Krishna was attacked 17 times by Jarasandha. He kept coming back every year. And then Krishna and Balaram said, "Here he comes again." So they got on their chariots and they went out, you know, with their army. They didn't even need the army, but they went out. And just between the two of them, they destroyed his entire army, which is an Akshahini division, which means millions of soldiers. He would collect all these soldiers, millions of soldiers, and he'd bring them each year to Mathura. Krishna and Balaram would come out and they'd destroy the army. Every person in the army, Akshahini, like millions, just like that. And then Krishna and Balaram would say, "Okay, go. We'll spare your life. You know, get out of here." Like that. So then Jarasandha would leave, humiliated. And he would go back to his capital. And then he'd say to his friends, "I lost the battle again." And they said it was just bad luck. They said, you know, the Jyotish was not good. Inauspicious. You know, Mars and Saturn, not good. Go next year. Go next year. Try again. So that's the nature of demoniac people or silly people, is even though they have a bad experience, they keep coming back again and again. I mean, you have to be quite stubborn to come back 17 times and have your entire army smashed 17 times. So when he came back the 18th time, Krishna thought, "That's enough." Krishna says, "I'm over it. I'm not going to go out and smash this guy again." So then Krishna went to Dwarka. He built Dwarka, which is a floating city. Now, this city, we've spoken about it before, it's 96 square miles. That's huge. That's like probably from here to Dandenong, maybe like that. From here to Dandenong, out to, say, Preston, down to, you know, down to Frankston, down to Werribee. It's like this area. That's Dwarka. Big, floating on the ocean. And Krishna's living in there, and Krishna himself has 16,108 wives. And each wife, he gives her own palace. And each palace is 4 square miles in diameter. That means 2 miles wide and 2 miles deep. Right? That's like from here to the city. Now, from here to Crossways, about, maybe not quite that far, but like, you know, 3 kilometres, like from here to Crown Casino or something. That's just the palace. Each queen, right? 16,108 of them. So you add that up, right? Put them all next to each other. 16,108 times 2 is 32,216 miles. And all that fits into 96 miles in Dwarka. He fits all that in there. How does that work? That is called Achincha Shakti. When you deal with God, you have to understand you are dealing with someone who is Achintya. Achincha means inconceivable. Right? He's more powerful than we can even imagine. And there's not just Krishna's palaces in Dwarka. There's many, many other palaces. Ugrasen, Satyaki, Balaram. You know, everyone has their own palace as well, which are all as big as Krishna's palaces. So we can't even imagine how big Dwarka is. So you go into Dwarka and there's these beautiful lakes within the city. Beautiful lakes, I mean whole lakes within the city. And rivers flowing through the city and these towering palaces and all these things. And Krishna, he would go with his queens into the lakes and they would play holi. Which means they get syringes full of coloured water and they'd have water fights. Right? Big syringes, like like a syringe, you know what a syringe is? Like in what we have a needle? But big ones like this. Beautiful gold and silver and studded with jewels. And they squirt each other with coloured water and swim around through the lakes, through the flowers. And sometimes Krishna goes and hides in the blue lotuses. And he hides in the blue lotuses and they can't find him because he's camouflaged in the blue lotuses. So they go in there amongst the blue lotuses with the syringes looking for Krishna. And then Krishna suddenly gets him in the face with his syringe like that, and then swims underwater, swims away. And then they come looking for Krishna. So this is what God does. Just like one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj met Cardinal Sin in the Philippines. He's the cardinal of the Catholic Church in the Philippines. He had a meeting with him. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, it's in the Back to Godhead magazine, a very old issue. And he said to Cardinal Sin, he says, what does God do in the kingdom of God? And Cardinal Sin said, he sits on his throne. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, does he ever get off the throne? And Cardinal Sin said, we would imagine, but we cannot say. What do you think God does? What do you think God does? He sits on a throne all day, eternally. Just sits on a throne, eternally. That's all he does. Sits on a throne, right? And you come through the pearly gates, right, of heaven. And you come through the pearly gates and he looks at you and he says, have you been good? And you say, yes. And he says, have you been good? And you say, yes. And then he gives you a harp and then he says, okay, that's cloud nine. You go and sit on there and play your harp for eternity. So then God sits there on his throne eternally and you sit up there on the cloud nine, and eternally you just go... Right, and once in a while God looks at you and goes and you go right, that's what happens. I mean, obviously that's not what happens. And then once in a while someone walks through the gates of heaven and comes up to God, and God says, have you been good? And they say, no, my Lord, I've not been good. And he says, come here. And he picks them up. He puts them over a big tunnel, which goes to hell, right, where there's fire coming up. And he picks them up and he goes and drops them into hell. And they go fire. And all the angels look over and they go, oh, that was a good one. Yeah. Is that what he does? Is that what God does? Obviously not. So, here it says the Bhagavatam is the only literature, the Vedic literature is the only literature which actually describe what God does in the spiritual world. And his pastimes are divine, and that they are full of ananda, or full of bliss. Now, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are inviting us to come back. Prabhupada says, back to Godhead magazine, come back home, back to Godhead. Come back. Come back and enjoy. Be a part of these pastimes. Be my eternal servant in these pastimes. Srila Prabhupada says in the Ishopanishad, Krishna does not want to control everyone. That's not his mood. He can do it. Like, Krishna can control all of us. It's easy because he's Krishna. He doesn't want to do that. He just wants us to cooperate. Prabhupada says this, and it's all Krishna wants, just cooperation. Just come back. Come back and be a surrendered devotee. Just be my devotee. Cooperate with me. I'm God. Krishna can't help it. He can't help that he's God. That's what he is. You have to serve him. He can't. It's not like he's on an ego trip or something. It's just that he is God. He is supreme. And all he's asking is that you just come and cooperate with me. And if you do, then he says, I will give you unlimited bliss. Because my pastimes are full of bliss. Krishna is known as Rasa Raj, or Rasika Shekhar, which means he is the one who churns the bliss, churns the nectar. Right? When Krishna is there, you know the pastimes are going to be ecstatic. You know that if Krishna is present, you know that the pastime will be blissful. Right? Because that is Krishna's nature. So Krishna is just saying, come, and I will give you that bliss. What is the price? The price is surrender. Savadaman Purujaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Just surrender to me. Right? And I will reward you accordingly. I'll give you everything. I'll give you more bliss than you can imagine. So this is what the Krishna consciousness movement is for. It is to take us back home, back to Godhead. That's why Prabhupada established this temple. And Prabhupada sat right there in 1974-75. He sat right there on that very Vyasasan, looking straight at Radha Vallabha like he is now. And he said, this is not Vrindavan. He said, this is not Melbourne. This is Vaikuntha. And then he said, it is Vrindavan. This temple is Vrindavan. We are now in Vrindavan because Radha Vallabha are there. And tonight, they will perform their most ecstatic pastime. They will come off the altar and they will enter onto their Julan, their swing, and all the devotees will push them and sing very sweetly for their pleasure. And this is exactly what goes on in the spiritual world. Except in the spiritual world, the swing is of a different shape. What does the swing look like in the spiritual world? There are different swings. They don't just have one swing, they have many types of swings. But what is the swing like in the spiritual world? Like a boat? Yeah, there must be boat swings in the spiritual world. It's true. Like a lotus. Yeah, like a lotus. Beautiful lotus swing. And Radha and Krishna sit in the center, facing each other. And the principal gopis sit on the different petals. And then all the mandaris, all the different assistants, they begin to push the swing. And the swing gets pushed in different directions. Sometimes it swings like this, like big round going around. Just like in this world, you go and pay some money at Luna Park or somewhere and you get these sensations. This is all coming from the spiritual world. Krishna invented all of this, right? But it's much better there, right? They swing around and they swing up and down and so many different pastimes on the Julan. So Krishna is saying, come back home, back to Godhead. You can be a part of this. And you can enjoy these eternal Nitya Lila of ecstasy, of bliss, that I am experiencing with my devotees. One time at Radhakund, then Radha and Krishna were on the swing together. And Krishna was swinging and Radharani was sitting with him. And then Krishna began to swing higher. You know when you go down and then you kick your legs, when you're a kid? Or even now, sometimes we do it, we get on the swing and you go, and then when you go down, you kick your legs up and go higher. So Krishna was kicking higher, and Radharani was holding on very tight. And then Krishna was going higher and higher, and then Radharani started to get like nervous. And then Radharani began to scream, Krishna, stop, Krishna, like that. And Krishna was kicking higher and higher. And then Krishna started doing 360s. Like this. And then the swing went like this, came around and it was just hanging on the top. And Radharani was holding onto Krishna tightly and she was screaming the whole time. And Krishna was just laughing. and then finally it stopped and she's holding onto him and then she opens her eyes and she looks like, it's all right. And Krishna's just smiling. So if you want, you can go back and you can see all these pastimes. Now, if you want to go back to the spiritual world, or if you want, you can stay in East Melbourne and enjoy your pastimes here. It's up to you. Krishna gives you the choice. But this is Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan, which means from this place, you can enter Goloka. From this place. There's only two planets in this world, in the universe. There's only two planets that you can go back to Godhead from. One of them is Brahmaloka, which is the topmost planet in the universe. When the end of the universe, when the universe is destroyed at the end of Brahma's life, then the devotees who are with Lord Brahma, if they're pure devotees and they're with Lord Brahma, when the universe is destroyed, they can go back to Godhead. And the other planet is Earth. There's only two planets you can go back to the spiritual world. How fortunate are we that we have a human form of life? We are on Earth, which is one of the only places you can go back to Godhead from, and we're in one of the portholes. Portholes means an entranceway that you can pass through from the material world to the spiritual world. This temple is one of the places where you can actually pass through. We're actually here now. We're standing at the doorway. And now Krishna is saying, come through. Right? And now it's up to us. Are we ready to go through or not? Or are you still attached to everything on this side? To Maya, to all the illusion? Right? Are you ready to give up the illusion and go through? Or do you want to stay here and enjoy in this material world? So this is your choice. But if you want to go back to the spiritual world and enjoy in the Nitya Lila, in the spiritual world, then Krishna is abiding. Come back, come back. These are my eternal pastimes. So that's why Shukadeva Goswami is finishing this narration in this very sweet way, like that, because this is the nature of the spiritual world. It's very sweet. Even in the spiritual world, there is a lot of drama and there is a lot of separation. Sometimes Krishna and the gopis cannot be together. Sometimes Krishna and the cowherd boys cannot be together. But in the end of the pastime, there's always union, sambhog. And the separation just makes the union sweeter. When Radha and Krishna are separated, or when Krishna and cowherd, when they finally come back together, it just makes it sweeter. That's why Krishna arranges it like that. But it always finishes sweetly, like that. Just like every day in Krishna's Ashtakaliya Lila, then Krishna, every day, he in the middle of the day, he disappears from the cowherd boys to go and be with the gopis at Radhakund. So then he says to the cowherd boys, he said, "Oh, there is one sage who is meditating very close by here, and I think I should go and get his blessings. What do you think?" And the cowherd boys say, "Yes, yes, you should go and get his blessings." But then Krishna says, "I don't think we should all go, because he is a sage. And if we all go, you know, hundreds of cowherd boys turn up, then not very good." He said, "Maybe I'll just go with Madhu Mangala." And they're disappointed because they want to be with Krishna. But they say, "Okay, better you go to get his blessings. But come back quickly." Krishna says, "No problem." But then he disappears for hours. He goes to Radhakund with the gopis for hours and hours and hours. And then finally he comes back. So these are his pastimes in the spiritual world. They go on and on and on. So choice is yours. Tonight, be here at 7 o'clock. Right? And Radha and Krishna will come off the altar and they will perform Jula Nyatra. And we can very sweetly sing for them and we can push them. This is a great opportunity to actually enter into the pastimes and actually enjoy associating with the Lord directly. You can't get this in any other place in the world. And out of all the Jula Nyatras in the world, the ones I've been to a few temples where they've done Jula Nyatra. I've never seen one like in Melbourne. Because normally the system is that the deities are sitting on the swing and they'll pull with a rope very gently. But in Melbourne we have like a full swing. I've never seen it like anywhere else in the world. This pastime is ecstatic. The Melbourne Jula Nyatra is incomparable. It's like an ecstatic lila where the deities are swinging, just like in the spiritual world. And if you come tonight, Krishna might do some 360s. But you have to be there, sharp, 7 o'clock sharp. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. What's that? Where does that story come from? It comes from Dinabandhu Prabhu who told it at Radhakund. So it's bona fide, it's authorized. Some pastimes are called itihasa. Itihasa means they're passed down through the region or the village like that. So they're part of the tradition like that. So if you go to Vrindavan, you'll hear stories that aren't written in the Shastra and the Puranas and so forth, but they're bona fide because they're coming from tradition. So some of these pastimes are considered like that. So it's not it's a pastime. Dinabandhu Prabhu told it. He is the Braj Acharya. He's called Braj Acharya, so. So we know it is bona fide. Like that. Any other questions or comments?
What's doing in the spiritual world when
we're not sure. We're not sure what's going on. Sometimes it's described, I've heard it described, that sometimes it's just like you turn your head. You're with Krishna, right? And then you become a little envious, right? And then you turn away like this. And in that time that you turn away, like millions of lifetimes take place in the material world. And when you finally come back, then just like you turn back and then you're just there. Other times it's described like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Gopal Kumar, he goes into the material world, but then he gradually goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. It says that when he finally comes back to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna sees him from a distance. And Krishna says, "Where have you been?" And they run to each other and they embrace, and then both of them become unconscious. So it's not clear completely. I'm not sure completely what takes place. Whether we're, you know, maybe we just said, oh, we're going off to pick some flowers or something, and then, you know, we disappear for a bit of time. I'm not sure what takes place. But Prabhupada says, if you're in the house and the house is on fire, don't walk around the house trying to work out where the fire started. Just get out of the house. So you're in the material world. We don't know how we got here. We know how we got here. We misused our independence. So now it's just time just to go back home, back to Godhead. Finish your business once and for all. Is your business finished? Is your business finished?
No, you have to get a close one.
Yeah, but that is the spiritual. Right? That is non-different from the spiritual world. Krishna's service is non-different from the spiritual world. And that's why the devotees don't ask to go back to the spiritual world. They ask to get eternal service. So that is. But is your business finished? Are you finished enjoying the material world yet? When you're finished, then you can go back. But if you're not finished, then you have to come back. Material world. So we have to finish our business. No more. No more enjoyment in the material world. We've had enough now. How many lifetimes have we been here? Prahlad Maharaj says, chewing the chewed. Just like in India, they get the sugar cane, right, and put it through the machine and grind it up. And when there's nothing left, right, throw it on the ground. No juice left in it, just throw it on the ground. And then the cow comes. And the cow picks up and goes, right, tries to still get some juice out of it. And when he's finished, spits it, right? And then the crow comes. Right, and then he picks it up and tries to get something out of it. So that's what the material world is like. There's nothing that we're doing in this lifetime we haven't done 1,000,000 times before. But this lifetime, it's so special. You know? She's the one. He's the one. Finally, I found my love. You know, my life is so happy. You know, this is, we've done it all before. And we've never been happy before. And we're not going to be happy in this lifetime either. So finish your business and go to Jalan Yatra. Mm-hmm. Any other question?
Oh yes, you said in Golok Vrindavan there's different people have different identities. Like suppose you said Sukadeva Goswami was a parrot and eternally, and some are gopas and gopis, some maybe some peacocks or animals. Why is it different? Why not everyone like the same human beings there as well? Why do some become birds or some become animals?
Yeah, but in the spiritual world, everyone has Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter what form you have externally. You have the same consciousness, the same love for Krishna. So even it says some devotees have the eternal form of being a creeper, like a vine which grows up the trees in Vrindavan. So that's their eternal form in a creeper. But they're in Madhurya Ras, which means the same feeling that Krishna and the gopis have. They witness those pastimes between Krishna and the gopis, so they get that same ecstasy. Now, by witnessing those pastimes and by their flowers being picked and offered to Krishna. So these pastimes are the same. This feeling is the same. So it doesn't matter in the spiritual world which form you have. You can experience any type of ecstasy in Krishna's service. There's no limitation in the spiritual world. Does it answer your question?
Yep. As a human being, so there as well, they can express things. And
you mean like gopi or gopa?
Gopi and gopa.
Yeah, so generally, it is said that you'll get a human-like form, generally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but everyone there has the same feeling. Okay, maybe you can express, maybe the others, because of their form. But still, it says that when Krishna goes into the forest every morning, He glances at every single flower, every single vine, every like that, and they're in ecstasy just having that exchange with him. So there's no limitation in the spiritual world. Whichever form you get, you'll feel the same ecstasy. So you don't have to worry about whatever we get will be good. I think so. Any other question or comment?
I have two comments in one question. What you were saying about those syringes, they are called pichkaris, P-I-C-H-K-A-R-I. they are made of metals, very strong force, you can eject with great force, can go meters. And the second thing, you were saying about Sukadeva Goswami. So, do we assume there are no mobile phones? Radharani can't tell Krishna and Radharani.
What's the question? Do they have mobile phones in the spiritual world? Is that the question?
Yeah. Is there means?
How long have you been a devotee for?
That's what I'm thinking here. Yeah. Me? About 27 years.
So what's the answer? Is the question, do they have mobile phones in the spiritual world?
No. Because the devil suddenly has to go to convey.
Because Brinda Devi has 100,000 parrots. So Brinda Devi, with her 100,000 parrots, they travel all around Vrindavan, and they're the Vrindavan communication service. So they pass the messages like that all around Vrindavan. So the Brinda Devi's leader, her main parrot, the leader of all the parrots, his name is Daksha. Daksha means expert. And Daksha, he has 100,000 disciples. So between them, that's how they do it. No mobile phones.
Can we say that Ken Kento is like this better after the dinner? We have dinner. Similarly, can we say Ken Kento is dessert?
Dessert. It's 10th canto is said to be Krishna's smiling face. Yeah, so the 10th canto is Krishna's face. Just like when you look at someone, you look at their face. The face is the most beautiful part of their body. And when someone smiles, that is considered the most beautiful. So the 10th canto is Krishna's smiling face. Like that. That's the analogy which is given. Right. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.